Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh.
And I am Chris. Josh, how the heck are you?
Oh, you know, Chris, I'm taking it one day at a time, which is, I think, something in the world that in which we live today is the only way to do it.
Well,
now, you and I were talking off air how stressful it is, how it feels. I don't know, since what, 2016 or so that we've been just in this giant stress ball. And I feel like everyone all around is feeling it.
I think that assessment is spot on target. How do we manage stress? And how do we identify where the stress is coming from, all these outside entities? And then how do we find that safe space?
It's very true. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was like a financial podcast. You know this that thing that hosts do before they get to whatever the show is about? They have this little banter that they have, kind of like what we're having
right
now. Kind of
like what we're doing, yeah.
In the midst of that banter, he was saying how his 11-year-old son came up to him and said, "Dad, I'm deleting all social media off my phone because it just stresses me out."
Oh, what a great kid.
I know. I mean, I guess that's also good parenting, you know, something that dude did to kind of impart that idea that if there's something that's stressful, then just go ahead and take it out of your life. There's no reason to do what the kids call doom scroll. Have you heard of this doom scrolling?
I've not heard doom scroll, but I think I get it without even hearing the explanation for it.
Yeah, it's just the idea of just consuming all of these negative stories, and instead of just putting the phone down or logging off the computer, you scroll to the next one and you read that. And it's just such a weird thing. It's a weird addiction that some folks have to media and to social media.
Well, I've always looked at social media as a kind of like a necessary evil. Especially for, if you're selling anything, I was more active at one period of time on social media than, I currently am. I've completely gone off of Twitter. I can't remember the last time I posted off of Twitter. It might've been, I might've posted when I was in Milan at the National Gay and Lesbian Travel Conference. That would be approaching 3 years now. But I don't know. I think, at least for me, I like keeping in touch with seeing what my friends are doing. But I don't know. It seems like a volatile environment these days.
I don't know that it's worth it. Like, I get it, doing what we do and wanting to get the word out because we want this to be successful and we want people to know about it. It feels like the easy way is just post it on social media and then people will grab it. Well, the reality is there's a cacophony of voices vying for your attention,
right,
when you're on social media. So I don't think that social media is a good way to, like, for example, to get this show out there necessarily, or at least not primarily. I still want for us to figure out a way to reach people individually or face to face, because at the end of the day, I think that's the way that you do it.
Right. And that's, that's certainly a goal we have, is to, do these shows live, go to a cafe and that is the ultimate goal of our Aging Gayfully brand. But, it's funny. We were just talking about the social media and podcasting and all that. I don't want to be totally a Debbie Downer and negative, but I had a positive experience with social media this week. It happened yesterday.
Oh, you've not told me this. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's kind of it kind of proves the point why social media is a necessary evil, especially because it's, unless you delete it, it's going to live on. We both have podcasts that have lived on for years. I think I did my first podcast in 2013. That's kind of hard to believe. But yesterday I got contacted by somebody at PBS, and during the email exchange going back and forth, they indicated I heard you on a podcast from Stanford University. And I'm thinking, I certainly remember the episode. It was about aging gainfully, and it was about our caregiving story, but it reminded me about, we create this content and we want that instant gratification when we go to social media. I want how many likes can I get on that post at this minute? Because it's going to make me feel really good and I'm going to be affirmed. And, you know, it's all that. But you know what? That affirmation can come a couple of years down the road when somebody contacts you and said, you know, that podcast you recorded, it really touched me. It helped me at that period of time. And then for me yesterday, it procured one of the best leads I've had in quite a while. And it's that necessary evil type of thing. Do you stop doing it altogether, or do you just continue to do it and you cross your fingers and you hope that that one show, that one message hits the target audience that you're looking to get to?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's why we do it. And I just want to say that if PBS makes the movie of the story of your caregiving journey with Richard, and then they want a sequel, that right now I'm saying I want The Rock to play me. So
shirtless?
I mean, The Rock, not me. No one wants to see me shirtless.
Not even Amanda?
Well, okay, Amanda does. Yes.
Okay. We just want to make sure that we're all on the right accord here. So, but you know, I got a question for you. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You know, you've been on a vacation here recently, and I'm going on vacation on Tuesday. By the way,
oh, where are you going?
I'm going to Key West.
Very nice. I love Key West so much.
I haven't been in 10 years.
It's probably pretty much exactly the same.
I would think so. I might have to go to Sloppy Joe's. And
that's right.
But I haven't been 10 years. I really haven't. I don't think going to my sister's funeral in St. Louis is called a vacation. But I really haven't. It's been a while since we've picked up and gone. And you just came back recently from a little trek to Orlando, and another missed opportunity for us to get together, but it's going to happen. But I, you know, we kind of posed this question earlier. It's like, how do you continue on with a vacation once it's over?
Yeah, that's something that I wanted to talk about today. But before we talk about that, I just want to make one inquiry to you.
Okay.
The thing that as a Miami native, we would always do when we went down to Key West was the Duval Crawl. Are you familiar with the Duval Crawl?
You have to refresh my memory on that.
So Duval Street is...
That would be that's Duval Street, obviously.
Yeah, where all the bars are.
All the bars on Duval Street.
And
okay.
So it's very simply doing the Duval Crawl, probably because you don't start crawling, but by the end of it, it's very possible that you will be.
Well, this very proud and open 67-year-old, I'm not sure a social media post of me crawling down Duval Street, maybe that would get some attention.
Oh, it would get attention, not to be what, boy. So anyway, yes, so I've been lucky enough to go on several really wonderful vacations in the last few years, pretty much, I mean, growing up, I went on different trips or whatever. But when Amanda and I got married, Amanda loves to travel. And now she's gotten herself a job that she travels for, not just locally and within the state, but nationally and internationally. So I've been to New Orleans a couple times in the past few years, been to New York twice, been to the London, the United Kingdom twice. And then here in state, her job takes her to Jacksonville and to Orlando and St. Petersburg. So lots of lovely places. And every time I go on vacation, there's a point. And my hope is that the point is pretty near the beginning of the vacation, where I have this release where I'm like, oh, now I can relax and I can let all the work things go away. And I can really, you know, submerge myself in this experience. This last time I went away, unfortunately, it was a day and a half before I had that release. And that release that release that I had was in a pool, by the way, holding a drink. And I'm talking about an emotional release. Let's not get too excited about the terminology. But as I'm like on this vacation and I reach that point and I just relax into it and it's such a glorious feeling, my question to myself is always, okay, how am I going to take this feeling back home? What am I going to do to remind myself and to bring myself back to this place? Because it's a wonderful thing to do, to be in a highly stressed environment and then remember walking along the Thames in London by the Shakespeare's Globe Theatre. And that does take you to a calmer, or it can, or at least for me, takes me to a calmer, happier place. So my question to you, Chris, is how do you bring vacation back home to you, or with you, not to you?
I like to have the mindset that I'm always on vacation. And maybe that's easier said than done. And it's certainly easier for somebody like myself who works for himself. I of course, at 67, I'm not looking to work somebody else's job. But as I look back on my career and the places that I've worked and the things that I've done, and, you know, always looking forward to that time off, to that me time, I'd like to be able to go back and have that mindset that when vacation ends, that doesn't mean your good times end. And I know there's lots of people that have, with COVID, everything that's gone on especially the last 10 years in our political discussions, that seem to be so intense. Everything is so intense these days. You know, where do we find that relief? And it is, you know, hopefully it is through our vacations, it's our travel, but it also comes back to our mindsets. We could be on vacation 24/7 in our kind of like a virtual vacation in one sense. You know, taking that joy and that anticipation of being in a new space, crawling down Duval Street, but turning those difficult days into vacation days. How do we do that? How do we continue on with the vacation? And I think it comes back to a mindset. Not everybody can go on vacation, but how do we find that relief from our day-to-day drudgery? I don't know. You've posed a very interesting question today.
Well, to me, it's the root of the joy of travel is the novelty.
Right.
You know, to me, it's the learning new things, being in new spaces, meeting new people, and how can we do that? And I guess what you've said really is the heart of my question is, how can we live our lives so that we perceive at least that we have that mindset of being on vacation more. Even when this expression that you just hit me with, working someone else's job, never heard that before, but I'm going to make a t-shirt saying I don't want to be working someone else's job no more. But like when people who are stuck in any sort of drudgery, like how can we remain in that mindset? Now, for me, I need tokens. I need, things. For me, things connect mm-hmm. me to feelings and places. You know, I love when I'm off on vacation to bring back with me one thing that reminds me of that different and novel space. Do you do that?
I do. I there's always something that I bring back that reminds me of that trip. One of them I made into a tattoo. So it's a constant reminder on my left leg on the inside that I have a tattoo of a keychain that I got in Barcelona. And it's very unique I've got a picture of it somewhere that we can show everybody on YouTube, but it's a picture of a bear in a bow tie. Well, you know, I kind of relate to that. So, mm-hmm. but I think in my travels, whether I was, I look at my life in so many different compartments and travel has always been a big part of it. It's like when I bowled professionally and going to all the different cities in the United States. And it's even to this day, when somebody asks me, have you been to, I'm just going to throw this one out because it comes to my mind. Have you been to Peoria? Well, of course I've been to Peoria. It's not too far from St. Louis, but I never really enjoyed Peoria because I never bowled well there. So in my bowling life, I can relate to where did I bowl good at?
So the things you bring home from cities are trophies.
I really like Detroit because I won a tournament there. So that, yes, you know, it's like
excellent. Yes.
So that part, but in the last 20 some odd years, as I got a little bit more into travel and had the travel business, it's, you know, there's always some type of a memento that you take with you. And I think that's another thing that helps in the vacation spirit.
So as I'm looking over your shoulder there, do you have things like pictures or things that you keep in the room, in your bedroom, in the room that you spend the most time in? Do you have different things there?
Oh, yeah. I've got mementos of places I've been, favorite places I've been, some in St. Louis, and St. Louis and New Orleans seem to be a focal point. There's some artwork that relates to my travel. And when I come into my room, it's really the wall is the focal point. As with the sign, if you can dream it, you can do it. And I've always been a dreamer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is, you know, I remember having a map of the United States in one of my rooms in one of my homes in St. Louis, and having, you know, a check mark next to all the cities that that I had been to. And it's, you know, there was yesterday on, yeah, I did go on Facebook yesterday, and there was a couple of surveys about cities across the world that you've been in, and, you know, go through how many cities have you been in? Well, there was maybe 100 select options, and then you go in, and I think I'd been to 50 of them.
Wow.
And it reminded me that I have more places that I want to go. But when we go, how do we come back with it? And that's really, I think that's kind of the fun part as well. How did you come back from your trip? What did you take from your trip?
With this last trip, I didn't take anything because it was just Orlando. I'd been there about a billion times. But But when I go to places that I've not been, I love, first thing I look for is a local artist, because I enjoy supporting individual artists, as opposed to like, I'm going to go to Target and get something out of their art section or whatever. So I enjoy local art. When we were in London, Amanda bought a painting from an artist along as we were walking along the Thames. So that was a thing. I got a really cool hat from New Orleans that is sitting right over there. New York City, I brought an interesting thing back, and maybe this is something we can also talk about. New York City, I brought back a drink. So when I was in New York City, one of the days we went to the Museum of Natural History, and it was chucking it down rain. It was just...
Yeah.
And so we ran from the Museum of Natural History into this little restaurant-y place. Very New York cool, this restaurant. And I was looking at the drinks menu, and I saw this drink, Negroni, which I'd never had before. I'd never even heard of it. I was like, oh, what's that? So I ordered a Negroni. Now, Negroni is gin with Campari and vermouth, right? That's it. Three ingredients, yeah. And then an orange peel.
You had me a gin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Love me some gin, boy. That's when I knew that I'm officially, you know, approaching being a senior, because liking gin to me is, that's a refined, more mature
See,
person
we,
has
we
the
have,
gin.
Do we have opposite thoughts on that? I would say vodka is what makes you a senior, not gin, but that's just my preference.
The worst hangover experience I had in my life in my 20s was from vodka. I cannot even think about vodka anymore. Oh my
well,
God,
that's
it was so bad.
You hadn't aged to perfection yet.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, if I age to perfection, it's not going to be with vodka in me. Let me tell you something, boy. So anyway, I had this Negroni, right? And it was delightful. I mean, it's definitely an acquired taste in that it's a very strong flavor, right? That you have these different things in there. But that's what I brought home from New York City. I brought that, like, this is now my drink that I get. And every time I have it, I think of us being in that little old restaurant
in
New York City.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
So to me, that's even better than bringing in like a, you know, a picture or something, put it on the wall, because that's something that I have that I can have anywhere that I can get that stuff. And of course,
have you gone to a local watering hole and ordered it?
Oh my God, yes, and a lot of places they're like, "What's that?" Especially if I go to.
That's where I was leading. Do you have to tell the mixologist what to mix?
Yeah, well, and oftentimes they don't have all of the ingredients as well. Like if you go to one of these, like
they don't have Campari.
Not often, no. If you go to one of these, like these chain places, like have you been to Harry's New Orleans, whatever restaurant? Have you heard of this Harry's? It's a chain, right? They couldn't make it for me, so can't get it everywhere. But that's my thing. So that's my suggestion, my recommendation for today.
That's, I guess you're just going to have to carry your own little flask with you when you go out.
I'm not going to be a flask guy. That's not going to be a thing. Absolutely not.
Well, you know, you don't want to crawl down. I don't want to crawl down Duval Street either.
So, but that's, to me, that's an unusual thing.
That's
so,
a great example, though.
Have you brought anything home that's not been a thing, that's been a habit, or like maybe now you have a new favorite food that you always order because it reminds you of this dish you had or whatever?
Oh, well, I mean, I think we talked about food in one of our earlier episodes, and goodness, toasted ravioli.
Yes, but can you have that anywhere? That's what I'm asking. It's like bringing it home.
Can I have that anywhere? No, I can make it myself. Oh, well. But can I have that? Yeah, I can't have that. I can't have that anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's really the one that rings my bell. Paella.
Oh yeah.
It takes me to Spain. And it's funny when you think about the paella in Spain, it's much different than some of the paella you get here. But even in the different regions of Spain, the paella can be a little bit different. And now I've learned how to cook it myself, and it's like, okay, well, I have my own region.
Well, I don't want to talk about your regions. But the other thing that this reminds me of, and this is kind of not what we're talking about, we were talking about food. If ever I want to be transported back to my growing up in Miami, I will try my hardest to get my hands on some pollo asado, which is like Cuban roasted chicken. That takes me right back to Miami there, that.
Well, yeah, you just have to come. You have to come here because we can fix that for you here.
Well, we are planning, by the way, to go down to Miami and are planning to either stop to see you or have you come see us or something. We got to figure that one out.
Or both.
Yes, or both. Sure. Bring me some points.
Because you got to drive right by me, yep, to get to Miami.
Yep.
Unless you're flying. Yep. I don't think.
No. No, not going to do that.
The turnpike. So.
Yeah. One of the worst flights I've ever had. I don't know if I talked about this on one of our shows, but it was a little old plane between Miami and Orlando. And it's the only time I've ever flown where I felt like I was on a bus in all of the worst ways.
When you were on a bus.
It was the
only time you've flown when you felt like you were on a bus. Is that what I heard?
That is correct. It was a jam packed flight, and I spent the entire flight because the person next to me in the middle seat, I was on the aisle seat. He was having some sort of distress where he couldn't get comfortable. So I spent the entire flight leaned over halfway into the aisle way. Now, luckily, it was only a half hour flight. But the whole flight, I was.
If I go this way, then we're kind of leaning against each other's shoulders.
It was misery. So no, I shan't be taking that flight between Miami and Orlando or the other way. Shan't be doing that.
You know, I think that's a future episode about how we travel.
Oh sure.
The means that we travel.
Oh, sure.
Planes, of course. I'm thinking of John Candy and Steve Martin, planes, trains, automobiles. But I'm thinking trains are really the way to go these days. But that's up for a whole other conversation.
Oh sure. So. And then the question is, train where? Like which train? Because that matters as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm partial to trains in Europe, but that's just me.
Well, I think it is very important, however we develop that mindset of being vacation, that we take steps to try to do that, whether it's through pictures or food or however else that you bring those memories, you bring those feelings back home and you memorialize them so that you can always think about them. It helps me.
Very much so.
All right, Chris.
Good stuff.
That's about our time, sir. How can people get in touch with us?
They can email us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. That is yesiam@aginggayfully.com. We'd like to know how you extend your vacation after your vacation, your formal vacation is ended.
Let us know. Drop us a line. We'd love to talk to you. Between now and then, I'm going to be working feverishly to figure out how I don't have to be working someone else's job anymore.
Well, there are those six numbers that come in a couple of times a week. So,
yeah, well, that's not been my friend so far. So we shall see. All righty, Chris.
Well, I'm glad. We're friends.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe one day we'll even meet in person. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I think it will happen in July.
All right.
Since you're in Miami.
We will. That's right.
Okay.
We will.
Good stuff.
Talk to you all next week.
Okay.